For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit BairdBeer.com.
That's, I think, a really cool thing about that I really enjoy about Soizond is that we are able to just kind of jam.
So a lot of the times, like, you know, kind of picking up where Tom left off here, like when they're working things out, we're starting to jam, I'll often like mush mouth kind of vocal arrangements and see what sounds, or I'll just like say like ridiculous things. That one time I was like, you know, we're going to the pool together, like just ridiculous things, like but just to see how like the vocal arrangement sounds.
Not the grind,
like,
Hanami?
Yeah.
Let's go urinate together. You know? We lock eyes. Let's go piss.
So I mean, it's kind of, you know, I'll just catch on to like some certain like sentences that I'll use, okay. And then I'll kind of like use those and be like, okay, it sounds okay here. I like the sound here. Yeah. You know, does it feel okay like with the music as we're performing it?
Hey there, welcome to Made in Japan: Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill, cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides sushi and sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on, people that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hey ho, let's go. What is happening, everyone? I am your host, Meljo Catalan, and welcome to the Made in Japan podcast. We are back with an episode that I've been dying to put out for a long time. Come with me, brace yourselves, everyone. We are diving deep into the underground world of black metal. Or just heavy metal in general. So this is going to be an episode for that could be a little bit, I don't know, maybe abrasive for some people. But honestly, I think metal, or people who really like heavy guitar-based music, like me, and people are interested about heavy metal music in Japan, I have the episode for you today. And it's because I'm excited because this is the kind of episode that I've thought about, and I honestly have never delved into that much, and I found the right type of people to help me along, and I want to showcase this band that I have on. The band's name is called Soizond, and the members of the band, they're pretty much... We're in the underground Japanese metal scene for a while now, and I'm really stoked to have them on because this weekend, I believe, is April 2. They're going to be releasing their debut album. However, I talked to Soizond last summer after their drummer, Tom, a friend of mine, he invited me to one of their shows last summer at a very famous Tokyo metal live house. It's called the Pit Bar out in Nishi Ogikubo area. So I was kind of like excited to actually see a show last year. And I felt it was great. I loved it. It was I had flashbacks of when I was 16, 17, you know,
doing it up in the mosh pit in the, you know, in the venues in New Haven or New York or Boston. So it was a blast to hear Swazon play. And so, yeah, afterwards, I wanted to interview them, and they talked about getting ready for their recording session for their new album. And after a long wait, they finally are putting it out this weekend. Also, the band was gracious enough to give me an advanced copy of their album, and it rips. It slaps, it rips, it is awesome. And yeah, that's just my honest opinion. So if you all are curious, or if you all are just wanting to know more about the underground black metal, heavy metal scene in Japan, I think these guys are going to be great to explain their music and explain themselves about why they love the metal scene out here in Tokyo. And so without further ado, this is Swazon, the new Tokyo crust metal band, and I hope you get to enjoy it. Here we go.
Yeah. Here's a weird question that I just popped in my mind.
Okay. All
right.
To kick it all off.
To kick it all off.
Are we recording now?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I see the timer going, so.
I'll never tell.
By the way, guys, thank you for letting me come to your show. And
It was a public show. Thank you for coming.
But like, it was funny because when I came to their show, the first person I saw was actually you, Jared. And I was like, because it was my first time at the hit bar.
Mm, right? You were wearing the Cure shirt.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm like walking around. I'm like
sticking out.
A man with long hair hanging out in front of a liquor shop.
Yeah.
I'm like, it must be that place. But I looked at you. Yeah. And then I just kept going. Because I wanted to see. I've never been to, Ishio-Wikibo area.
Yeah.
It was my first time.
And I wasn't in front of the liquor shop. I was actually in front of the girls bar.
Okay.
That was like the stairs to the girls bar. I was like right next to the sign.
Maybe you didn't see the girls bar because you're blocking.
Yeah.
You just stuck out. You're like a man with long hair with a metal t-shirt. I'm like, okay, he's probably one of the band members. Okay, just keep going. But like, yeah. Anyways, I had a lot of fun at that show. And it brought back memories of like, cause I don't go to shows.
Corona. Even before Corona, you weren't really going to much shows.
So I go to like big venue concerts. Like when the last big show I went to was when Sigur Rós came to the Budokan. Mm-hmm. But I just love Sigur Rós, and like they always put on an epic like concert. So, to me, festivals are kind of sometimes it's like good, but it's like I'd rather go to like a small show.
Oh yeah.
And see a band. I mean that's my roots. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah. Thank you guys. Do you guys want to just like introduce yourselves?
Oh, off the top, yeah.
You know, who wants to go first?
Go.
You gotta go.
Hello, I'm Kanako, the bassist of this fresh and stylish band Swazon. Nice to meet you.
Very, very business-like.
Sorry.
When she recorded the promo, our Bandcamp promo, she was like Cho Kakui, like
yeah,
like, not even like this. It was more like, I don't know. It was kind of Yankee style.
Yankee style.
You gotta get warmed up.
Yeah.
That was after our practice, so yeah. Like, you gotta get into the mood.
We had drank a couple beers at that point.
This is a practice.
Yeah, this is the before.
We're gonna come back and do it again.
I don't know. This might be the real concert. I don't know. But thank you.
I'm Jared, the vocalist of Swazhan.
My name is Tom, and I'm the drummer.
So, the reason I know you guys is because of Tom, right? And, like, I just want to say, like, thank you, man, for letting me talk.
Been wanting to do this
for a while. Thank you for inviting us.
Well, you know, the main thing is that I've always wanted to, you know, showcase all walks of life in this podcast. And this was definitely one area that I really wanted to do. But I just needed the right type of people, you guys, and like the right type of environment and like the setting. Because I just felt like, I just don't know the scene right now. Because I'm not in the metal scene. And this was, for me, growing up back home in the States, this was a scene that raised me, you know? So, but I guess we'll start with how did all of you guys meet? Like, did you guys meet in the scene first, or?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. I forget how long you've been here. I've been here, like, over 11 years now. So, like, for me, from the start, I was just going to shows and in bands. So, I definitely met Kanako, like, earlier than I met you, I would say. She was in a pretty cool grindcore band, FID.
Okay.
Awesome band.
Yeah. Wait, can you say the whole name? The whole, FID is kind of...
very, very long.
Dozo. Get that.
Precious Idiosyncrasy in the Dilapidation.
Yeah.
Did you think of this name?
Yes.
your idea.
No,
Makiko, right?
Makiko. Makiko is the vocalist.
I see, okay. What kind of band, what type of band is that?
Blind Core desu.
Yeah, so, like, I think in my old band, Dark Corpse, we played together at least once or twice. So I know Kanako from just playing shows.
So you're just
band.
Always hanging out, you know, just seeing...
Yeah, just, like, if playing show together or, like, seeing FID on a bill, you know, that. So I kind of... Not like closely, like all the time, but like once we. But she was kind of like, especially when we were forming this band, we all kind of. Actually, we had a original bassist who we kicked out.
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
I mean, that happens.
It was kind of a not personal thing. It just wasn't working out.
It was just more of a style thing.
Yep.
Really, and so. He just didn't match us as stylistically, I would say.
I think he had different expectations of his role and, you know, what the band was going to be like than what we had.
So, yeah. Guys, we're going to, like, start doing anime theme songs.
Yeah, I don't know what... I don't know where he was going. That.
Yeah, it was...
we would be playing the song and I'm like, dude, can you just, like... play the song, and he was like, doo, 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 doo. He's like all over the place. I'm like, no, just like play.
he was trying to unleash his like inner Les Borland, I guess, like Wes Borland, like that sort of thing, where it's like he just wanted to play like really cool bass.
Guys, basically, you know? We're just going to copy all the Primus songs and make it just. Speed it up.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah. So we had to get rid of him because he wouldn't listen to me. I was like, dude, just play the song.
So Tom, would you say like for Swazhan, would you be considered like the leader of the band?
Actually, no.
Jared.
I'm apparently the leader. I'm apparently the band leader. But so Shohei and I started this band.
Okay.
we came up with this idea for this band back, what, over two years ago? It was 2019?
I feel like that sounds right.
Yeah, it was 2019, and my former band was on like a hiatus because our guitarist had just had a baby.
Okay.
So, you know, he had to be a dad. So that kind of like went to the wayside, and I really like Shohei's other band, Lifeblood. I had booked them before, you know, listened to the album a lot, and you know, I really like them. So I said, and me and Shohei had kind of bonded a few years prior during the Grind Hanami. Do you remember that?
Grind Hanami? The one.
Amazing.
I remember that one.
I'm gonna call it this one.
Yeah, Daigo was there.
Yeah, Daigo was there, and that's where I met Shohei, actually. And so the Hanami. And anyway, we'll finish the band story first, and then
very erotic. But
it was less erotic and more just a bunch of like drunk metalheads and grindcore kids. And
like, hey, you want to go to the Grind Hanami?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was erotic. There was some public urination.
There was a lot of public urination. But I mean, when you go to a Hanami during Hanami season at Yoyogi Park, there's public urination. People are pissing in the bushes. Can I swear? People are pissing in the bushes. So it's like me and Shohei developed this bond where every time, because I have like a small bladder, so it's like I get drunk and I'm like, oh, I gotta pee. So I'd get up and I'd get my shoes back on, get up from the tarp and put my shoes back on and be like, I'm gonna go pee on this gate over here. And Shohei's like, oh, me too. And then sometimes Shohei would be like, oh, I'm gonna go pee. I'm like, oh, me too. Let's go. Like,
I didn't know this story.
Yeah. And then we would just sit there. And this is the first time I met Shohei. I hope he's not embarrassed for me telling the story. So we'd be sitting there, like, pissing on this gate and just, like, having, like, small talk and, like, getting to know each other.
That's so hilarious. I did not know that at all.
Kanako, when you joined this band, did you realize how crazy these two people are?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, we went drinking together.
We had to really convince her, actually, though. Like, I remember, like, we kicked out the former bassist, and I think all of us, like, kind of, I don't know whose idea it was, but I think it was, like, kind of an easy, like, let's see what Kanako's up to, because, like, we all knew that FID was kind of, like, not happening.
Actually, before I had asked Kanako, I said, you know, come join this band, and
before,
what?
I
invited you.
So this is an amazing story.
Okay.
For me.
At first, when they were explaining about this Soissons project, I thought this was very technical music. I couldn't bring myself to join the band because I didn't have the confidence. That was the main reason that I refused their invitation. And later, do you remember Jared? I'd occasionally run into you at Asagaya Station. I just kept meeting you there time and time again. And the fifth time I saw him there at the station, he was insistent. Join the band!
This is your destiny! We have to be one!
Eventually, it worked out really well, and I'm having a lot of fun playing in Soissons.
You know, like, I'd never listened to your music before the former bassist, but like what I hear now.
Nothing's recorded.
Yeah, okay, no. What I heard from the demo and what I heard live, I felt like all of you have been playing for quite some time, not since, what, 2 years ago. As I told you, Tom, before, I'm like, when I was listening to you guys play live, like, Kanako, you, Tom, you said, I felt like you guys were doing it, like, the rhythm section, because I'm a bassist. So, like, I'm like, wow, you guys are in the pocket. Like, and that's not usually a novice band move kind of thing, you know? So, clearly I know that all of you have been playing in bands, and I know that Tom, you've been playing in, like, other bands. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Two other bands, too, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it works well when people, you know, especially for bands, to have that destiny.
I think out of the band, I'm probably the most novice. Yeah, so I played in a band in high school, but we didn't really do anything because we're all in high school and we just all lived in like different parts of town. Yeah, just us hanging out, you know, in our like, you know, our friend's, you know, basement, you know, where he would like, you know, he had his drum kit and everything. So, but you know, we had that for like a year or so, but you know, after that, like I didn't really play in any other bands. I wasn't, you know, I'm not a musician, I'm not an instrumentalist or anything like that. So, and it wasn't until here again where the guitarist from my former band, we got drunk together and he said, hey, you know, I got a bunch of riffs, I want to start a new band, like, do you want to join? And I said, sure. He's like, all right, let's do a trial. We did a trial and he's like, all right, cool, we're doing GFF, like, this is the band now. Okay. So I'm probably the most amateur out of everybody here with the least amount of experience, so.
Let's talk about the name of your band. Okay, so when I first saw it, when Tom introduced me to say, you know, Swazzle, or, and I saw the umlaut over the O, I'm like, all right, this is
that what they call those?
you know they're serious when they put an umlaut in the name.
We mean business.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear.
So, but the German pronunciation would be, what, Swazund, right?
Yeah, we say Swazund. That's actually there more stylistically.
Okay. It's like Motorhead.
Yeah.
Motorhead. It's Motorhead.
What's with the name? Is there anything to that name?
So the original name that I wanted it to be, and that me and Shohei had originally agreed on, was Wicked North.
Okay.
But you
that
know,
sounds badass too.
I thought so. But
there was some
disagreement.
It was from me. I was like, yeah, I think we can do a better name than
he
that.
He thought he was saying it sounds like something from New Hampshire, Boston. Yeah, be like, that's wicked awesome.
Wicked. It's wicked awesome.
We do say that, but that's not what I mean.
The word wicked in general just bothers me because, like, I'm originally from Chicago, then I moved to... I lived in New York for 11 years as well.
Do they say wicked in New York?
Hell no.
No.
Yeah, no. That's a strong no.
And then you go to... Did they say it in Connecticut?
I have the best of both worlds.
Okay.
And then, like, Boston
people
will
say it. That's wicked
pissing. And so, yeah, when I came across, like, Boston people or like, just people who use that word, it was just such a, like, weird thing to me. And I... Yeah, let's do a route. So I was like, please, no, not that. Just because of my distaste for the word wicked.
Okay. Do you want another one?
I'm going to do...
What do you want?
Wabi Sabi.
Yeah, I just had that. It was good. It was my first time having it.
But so is there a meaning for that response?
So, yes, actually. So, basically... It's from a series. How do I say this? It's from a series of books, basically called, like, there's the Prince of Nothing trilogy. They're by R. Scott Bakker. I don't know if I'm saying his last name correctly. I've never heard it.
Is there a umlaut in it?
He's no.
A what?
A what?
But he's a Canadian writer, and he did this fantasy series that was like, say, like, philosophically it's not as dense as it appears to be, but there's a lot of interesting characters and it's very grimdark. Like, it is so it's so grimdark that he did a follow-up trilogy, and there were, like, I watch a lot of horror and exploitation and ridiculous movies like that, and, like, there were scenes where I was like, this is just torture porn at this point. Like, this is just insane, like, what's going on in these books. But there's this very interesting kind of culture in those books, and they're kind of like a warlike, kind of like the embodiment of what we might consider in America now is like toxic masculinity, like very warlike, very like ultra machismo. And one of the things that I found fascinating by them is when they kill an enemy in battle, they call it murder.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't hide it. So in modern days, we say, oh, you know, it was a battlefield casualty, or you killed a target, or you eliminated a target or something like that. And they said, no, it's murder. When you kill someone in battle, it's still murder, right? We have a different kind of conception there. So there's that. And then also in their culture, this fake culture, where for every person they kill, they scar themselves. and they call it a swazam.
Oh, so it's like a mark.
It's a mark. It's a mark of, it's supposed to be a mark of pride, but they say it is the mark that is basically symbolic of the absence that you created by murdering somebody. You want that last sip?
Yeah. Come on.
So because
it's in the air, you got it.
We're at the top room.
That was a full sip.
So it is a made-up word.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, I was like, it sounds cool, but also I kind of like the fictional meaning behind this word.
Okay. Because, you know, I did my research and I was Googling. I'm like, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that you can't find it.
You might be able to find it if you look up Swazan, but, like, they don't have that little umlaut symbol. Unau.
Okay.
Like,
umlaut.
Umlaut over it.
Just stamp that umlaut over the O and be like, okay. Okay, I got that.
So, basically, it was on a list. I came up with a list of, like, 10... Yeah. 10 names, and it kind of got shortlisted. I can't remember what it got shortlisted with. Yeah. And then we ended up deciding on Swazan.
I just like stuff that sounds made up.
Right.
And the other kind of thing that is always important in Japan is like how Japanese will pronounce it.
Yep.
Mm. So like a few of your ideas got just like mixed because like, well, there's an L in there or something like that. Yeah. You know, like so.
Well, it's a very smooth pronunciation.
Yeah, for Japanese. Swazando.
Swazando. How do you say that, Kanako?
Swazando.
There you go.
There's a go with that.
Swazando.
Perfect.
Swazando.
Perfect. So.
It sounds cool. I think it sounds unique. You know, even though we totally lifted it from the series of books, like, and there, you know, aren't any other bands that are named like that or kind of similar to that, I think, so.
Let's talk about your music, though, because I remember after your set, I was outside with Tom, and Tom was asking me, you're like, what are we? Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, and I literally, I was like, this is literally crust metal in my mind. It's, but I don't know, I could be wrong, but like when I think of crust metal, there's always like something political or something having to do with, you know, fuck the government, anarchy, blah 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 blah. But I don't get that vibe from you, you know, from your band. I feel it's just, you guys are just like releasing your energy, you're just like just going at it. Like just, but like, maybe Jared, you can explain, but like, I kind of want to talk about your music first. Like, how do you guys write your songs? Because when I listen to your set, it reminds me so much of my hardcore, you know, mid-1990s hardcore punk days. And I played, I played with bands that were very, like, all about anarchy. And my bands were like, yeah, vegan, or like, yeah, straight edge, you know? But I don't get that vibe from you guys. I just get good energy, like good music. So take me through your song process. Like,
I think a lot of our songs are actually, a good amount of them just kind of come from jamming.
Okay.
Which is really cool. I think it's really cool because I don't really do that so much with my other bands. And I feel like, especially being in a band that's like half of the members are American and then Japanese. Like I've been, my first couple bands I was in Japan were Japanese, and they were totally incapable of jamming. They like could not jam. Like it would just be like, I wrote the song, I bring it to the studio, and then like everyone learning.
Right.
And they're like, well, why don't we just like play together and see what happens? There was like none of that, or even when we tried, it kind of sucked. So like, that's, I think, a really cool thing about, that I really enjoy about Swazan, is that we are able to just kind of jam, and we
just flow with it.
Yeah, and Shohei will, like, most of our rehearsals are recorded. Like 90% of what we do in, like, no matter if we have like 100 versions of that song, Shohei will is very diligent about.
Yeah, he's very meticulous about recording every session,
which is good. It's good. Good self study. You know, it's a good way to reflect, and because we only practice every 2 weeks, so it's in the middle of practices you can listen and then like kind of say, okay, was that change that or that fill good, or should I keep it, should I not? So it's good for us. But then what he'll also do is he'll record our jams and then like what he'll take it and distill it into like a song version, and then he'll come to the studio saying, hey, I got a new song based on a jam that we did.
Yeah, he'll take like some riffs that we liked, and he'll come back and
He'll just like it could be like a 10-minute jam or however long they last, and he'll just like pick riffs that he likes, and then say, okay, well, I have like 3 riffs. Let's just start with it, and then we kind of write it together. So like by the time we're writing it, it's like the jam itself is totally forgotten. Like nobody's thinking about that.
Right.
It's just, okay, now it's these riffs, and what are we going to do with them?
This is what we're working on now.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I assume that's the most organic way to write a song. I mean,
not all bands do that. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, a lot of bands, like, there's so many different ways that bands work.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the dynamic, because that the GFF, it was Daigo, our guitarist, who he would write everything, and he would write the drum tracks, and he'd bring it in and be like, this is what we're playing. Sometimes the drummer would make some changes, but a lot of times it was just, he wrote everything, and then him and I together would do like the vocal arrangements, and I'd write the lyrics, and so.
For you, Kanako, when you write your bass, like, are you just listening to Shohei and then just picking your style?
Almost bass line, Shohei tell me, and me, little arrange.
Okay. So, but Tom and Kanako, do both of you work on parts together?
There's certain parts where I'll like, for example, like one of our songs, I just thought the bass part sounded so cool.
Okay.
And I thought, and this is the song we started our set list off at the show. I was like, that's just a cool like bass riff. Why don't we start the whole song with that? So it just opens with bass and drums.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this, for lack of a better term, like kind of trip hoppy kind of like. You know some black metal, but it kind of comes up in black metal, like this, like it's kind of this kind of stuttering beat that kind of comes up in some black metal. The best way there is to describe it is like trip hop. Like,
yeah,
not that I listen to trip hop, but when you say that, you're like, oh yeah, just do a trip hop beat.
And you don't like tricky?
You don't like tricky?
I seriously, yeah, I don't know.
He's trip hop, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's like one of the granddaddies of trip hop, isn't he?
Yes.
But, no, I seriously don't listen to it. So
now I'm like curious though, because I'm Jared. For you, like, I want to know, because I don't know your lyrics at all. Like, so I want to know, where's your input? Like, how do you? What's the writing process for you?
So a lot of the times, like, kind of picking up where Tom left off here, like, when they're working things out and we're starting to jam, I'll often, like, mush mouth kind of vocal arrangements and see what sounds, or I'll just, like, say, like, ridiculous things. That one time I was like, we're going to the pool together, like,
yeah,
just ridiculous things, like, okay, but just to see how, like, the vocal arrangement sounds.
Not the
grind, like,
Hanami?
Yeah.
Let's go urinate together. We lock eyes. Let's go piss.
So I mean, it's kind of, you know, I'll just catch on to like some certain like sentences that I'll use, okay. And then I'll kind of like use those and be like, okay, it sounds okay here. I like the sound here. Yeah. You know, does it feel okay? Like with the music as we're performing it.
Okay.
And then I'll go home, and because Shohei is so meticulous about recording everything, yeah. I'll listen to the take that we had said, like, this is the best take, we like this one the best. Yeah. And I'll kind of just listen to it over and over again. And I'll kind of think about, you know, how does this song make me feel? Mm. Like, what do I think about when I hear this song? And that's kind of where it kind of starts off. I always have ideas in the back of my mind of things that I would like to write lyrics about. A lot of the lyrics that I write are political.
Okay.
But they're not, how would I say, obviously political, unless you take the time to read the lyrics.
Any themes that you talk about?
A lot of the themes are like class warfare, okay. Climate change, okay. Also themes of kind of existential dread and kind of actually like the terror of living in the modern world.
Okay.
Especially after like reading the news cycle and just being like, you know, we're fucked. And like, if we're not fucked, like the generation after us is most certainly fucked, you know? So it's kind of one of those things. I put in a lot of stress and, you know, that sort of thing. So a lot of them are very political. I also kind of make it a point to use certain turns of phrases that cannot be confused with any sort of neo-fascism or like national socialism or anything. Mainly because I'm 100% opposed to that and anti-fascist. So, you know, one of the songs is, you know, we meet in circles cast in ashes and blood. Where originally my phrase was, we meet in circles cast in iron and blood. And then I was like,
okay.
You know, that sounds badass, right. But that can get confusing for some people.
Yep,
so,
it does.
Yeah. But, you know, some of the lyrics are also just fun, where Hellcrawlers is just about demonic possession. It's just a fun song about, like, The Exorcist, so.
It's just a fun song, too.
It is a fun song.
I know, like, you had a song in the middle of your set when I saw you. Mm. It was a very sludgy, very slow, people are expecting to, and I talked to Tom about this song.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it reminded me of, do you know the band Isis?
Yep.
It reminded me of Isis. Mm. And just like that drudgy sound, and people are expecting to hear the either a breakdown or just like a chorus or like, you know, speed up, whatever. And I listened to the song. I actually watched your show today just for that song. And I was listening to that song and I'm like thinking to myself, like, this is a band that is basically saying to, in the scene in Japan, basically saying like, fuck off, we're not pinpointing to be in any other genre. We're not, this is my opinion. Like, I feel like you guys are not, you know, pinholing yourself into a specific genre. You guys were going to do whatever you want. And when I hear that sludge song, and I was like, this is kind of rad. I just wish I knew what you were talking about.
Mm.
And then the next song was going back into the crust, fast-paced crust metal song.
The rock song.
You know, the rock song.
The rock song,
half to, you know. And I was just thinking to myself, during that specific time here, and I was thinking to myself, I really want to know what you're talking about.
Well, Tom, you wrote the lyrics. He actually wrote the lyrics, so.
Okay.
There's a funny story behind this, because
that song is kind of funny.
So when we were originally, when me and Shohei were coming up with this band, and he was writing riffs, and I was working, I had written a bunch of lyrics and stuff, and you know, but the original, it was supposed to be like a crusty doom, kind of like Fall of a Frappa, like tragedy meets like Convince, like that sort of thing, and. You know, we get this guy on, and he's like, I just want to play fast. So he comes in, and we start working on these songs.
Yeah.
And all of them get speeded up, so I have to, like, rework all of the lyrics and all of the arrangements and everything. And, you know, which is fine. But then, then he comes out, and he's like, hey, guys, I want to do, like, a dirge. I got this idea for, like, the slow song.
Yeah, so, like, the first couple songs that we wrote before Kanako were, like, currently what we have, we only play one song that we wrote before she entered the band.
Okay.
But the other songs, I feel like they're kind of not up to snuff for like what we wrote after. And she wasn't there to write them, so it kind of doesn't feel right to play. It doesn't feel right, and they're not that good, so we don't play them anymore.
Okay.
So there's, what, two tracks that we don't play anymore, yeah. Really. And those were kind of the songs that Jared and Shohei had, like, already kind of worked on a bit.
We had already, like, worked those ones out.
And then, so when I got on, yeah, I was like, no. We're gonna go faster. And then, so, like, I don't know. The Dirge song that you're talking about, it's called Too Late.
Okay.
And that is, like, what like, in the progression of songs, it's probably, like, the sixth or seventh song we've written. I don't know.
Yeah, because
it's kind of deep. It was seven. We had established, kind of, up until that point, I think we kind of started to find our own identity as far as like what we're gonna do and what we're gonna play.
Okay.
And then yeah, I was like, I know I said when I joined this band I didn't want to play any slow shit, but I have an idea for a slow song.
And he was like, hey man, like I got these lyrics, do you want to use them? And I'm like, yeah, I'll use them. Like, let's use them.
Yeah.
Let's
do it. I felt a little.
How did you feel, Kanako, when Tom said I want to like write a slow song? How did you feel?
A slow song.
Go.
It was the first time to play such a slow, sludgy track because I'm more about the fast pace of grindcore. It was so slow to play that song. But yeah, I agree. Writing a slow track can be difficult. Well, both slow and fast metal songs can be difficult to write, but with slow songs, you can be easily exposed to making mistakes. So I learned from this.
In rehearsal, we fuck up that song a lot.
Okay.
Like the fact that we like performed it perfectly, like at the gig, it was just like yes.
The part I like was the. I guess it's like the interlude where Tom comes in with a double bass roll. Just like comes in and he switches up his riff, like his riffage, and I thought that was a very fascinating part. And then like he just went back into the thing. I just thought like, okay, they know what they're doing, but I still really want to know what the song is about now.
So it's Too Late is for me it's mostly like I feel like in a lot of ways, you know, people like are it was a very personal thing that when I wrote, and I was just kind of upset at the fact that, you know, like people ask, you know, like vote for this, participate in this, protest that, and I'm like, you know what, there's not, I can't do all that, you know, like I'm only one person, and I'm not trying to make an excuse of like I did vote the last round because I really wanted Trump out. But other than that, I don't really participate in such sort of things. And it's not because I think it's not worth my time politically to do so. It's because it's too fucking late. like it's already, the ship has sailed. It's already, that's kind of my sentiment. It's like, the ship has already sailed. We're already in this, and there's not really any going back. And if you think you can change it, well, good, go ahead and try. But I am not going to try. Not in that way. I'd rather try by writing lyrics that express a sentiment that people can get behind, and then maybe by, like, this is the way I feel like politically I can you know, be in the conversation is by the music I make. That's my contribution is moreover than doing. I think voting is kind of a meaningless task, and there's a lot of stuff. That's me personally. I'm not asking everyone in the band or anybody out who's listening to agree with me, but I think a lot of that is kind of I don't have time for it. I can't be focused on the news cycle and also have time to make music, make art. I that's what I'm devoting my time to.
Let's talk about this scene. I want to know. One of the main reasons I brought you here, of course, I like listening to your music, but can you guys like fill me in about what is the Japan metal scene like now? Like, I don't know.
I mean, are you talking about like now?
Or now
like or pre-COVID?
Like in general or Corona?
Yeah.
In general, I guess, but I mean, you could also mention about, you know, how it affected you and like your community pre, you know, post-COVID, I guess. I want to know, because I think, I'm sure my listeners are just wondering, like, what is the scene like here? Because I know for damn sure it's not the same as where I grew up back home. So, what is the Japan underground metal scene like?
I really, this, to be honest, it's one of the things that has kept me here in Japan more than anything else. I came from New York City and like played shows there, but like I guess the main difference is like being in it as either a listener or a band member is I feel like there's even though Japanese bands are really not that popular outside of Japan,
yeah,
you feel like playing here that there's a sense of like progression and like that we're going somewhere and that this is like really we're doing something, we're going somewhere with this, whereas in New York it was just like kind of I kind of had a feeling of just I enjoyed it, but it was like I didn't really see much of a chance to, I don't know if I'm really looking for success, because if you're in a band looking for some sort of like success outright, if that's your goal, you're definitely not gonna make it.
Right.
But there has to be some sort of, like what I think is motivating for everyone in the scene is that there's a feeling that this is going somewhere, that this is like vibrant and active, and like we're making music that is not just some retread. We're doing something in the canon of music, and it's a progression. That's my feeling of the scene.
Awesome.
I mean, I think like there's a really vibrant scene, especially in Tokyo and Osaka. Seems like those are in Nagoya as well. But there's just so many bands, and in the pre-COVID days, it was like, which gig am I going to go to this weekend? There were just gigs all over town. And like, do I want to stay in Tokyo? Or do I want to go to Yokohama, to El Puente? Like, there's just so many awesome bands that are playing.
Sometimes there's, like, shows that you're just like, I gotta go out to Nagoya or something like
that.
Yeah, and just for a gig.
So, there's a very vibrant scene, and you're gonna start to see, like, if you start going to shows, you're gonna start to see the same people over and over again, right? But then you're gonna start, like, seeing newer people, and I feel like at some parts, it kind of depends on which venues that you go to. I think there's some people who kind of stay in like the Shibuya area, like the Cyclone.
Or even like Shimokitazawa.
Yeah, or Shimokitazawa. Like there's people who go specifically to those like venues. So I think it depends. There's probably some people who stick to certain venues, maybe because it's more convenient for them.
Exactly.
It's partly convenience, and then I think it's a little bit of a even almost like kind of a brand loyalty where I feel like
I get that. I get
no, but like
people follow certain bands,
like a tribal
right?
Tribal thing.
Yeah. Well, in a way though, like you know that, like, even if you, like, say, okay, I want to go to see this show because I know one band on this bill, but I don't really know the rest of them, but it's at this venue, so maybe it'll probably be good, because generally I've had a good success rate watching shows at this venue. So it's a really, like, once you get to know the different places, it's also, like, cool to be able to pick up new bands that you never have heard before, just because you're like, well, I trust that you'll, you know, this venue or, like, it, there's a lot of concert series kind of thing going on here in Japan. So I think between that, between the venues itself or, like, the concert series kind of label, people kind of go based on a little bit of a kind of brand loyalty. Like, okay, that series is always good. I don't know all these bands, but it'll probably be good. So I'll pay. Yeah, I mean, tickets are expensive here, so. But there's got to be that tipping point in the decision where, like, okay, I decide to go because this looks like it could be pretty fun. And a lot of the flyers are really shitty in Japan, so they're not selling it with flyers most often.
Yeah, right. Times. Well, a lot of them are, like, really DIY, or, like, the promoter doesn't have, like, an artist, so he just kind of put something together himself, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but...
Sometimes, you know, they're, like, shitty in a good way, and sometimes they're just shitty in a shitty way. So...
Kanako,
I don't really know what's happening in this underground scene. However, I think there are a lot of cool bands out here doing their thing. I don't really think about what the scene is like. Personally, I don't care about labels or genres. I just love music. I listen to many kinds of music, and I don't really worry about what style or genre we fit in.
I like all the music. I like jazz, rock, pop.
そうだね。
だからあんまりジャンルっていうのは私は気にしてない。だから私は今こう言ってブラックメタルに関わってますけど、
僕はクラストメタルバンド。
I think we just say, like, crusted black metal.
Crusted black metal.
Crusted black metal.
I believe, though, you were saying, like, I think it was you, or I was definitely, yeah, that I was talking to you, and I'm like, why would you, like, I'm not hearing the black metal of it.
I said that.
I think you
did say that.
Right?
I said that, and I was like, because I really hear more crust, and I was just like, this is like crust metal.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually, that's why. Thank you guys for coming, because I wanted to talk to you, Jared, about it. Like, because I think the lyrics is a very important part about. But, like, I really don't. I hate labels, because, like, I think. You guys are still, you know, exploring yourselves and, like, trying to, like, get that sound together. And by the way, I actually think the live set that you played was way better than your demo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Like that demo. Way better.
That demo we recorded in, like, the rehearsal studio.
It was good. I was just like, okay, now, like, I get the feel of this band.
The demo was basically recorded because last year we were planning to record an EP in the studio, but because of COVID-19 and the lockdown and everything, we just kind of put it off and we said, all right, let's get into the studio. It was recorded on Shohei's iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, and we recorded the demo. Let's just put this out. Let's put something out instead of not having anything.
Yeah. So. It was kind of the compromise with Corona, definitely. In a way, though, I'm kind of glad that that's what it ended up being, because now, like, I'm kind of still in a bit of disbelief, because it feels like when we're playing the songs, it's not, like, we got, like, a 30-minute set, it feels, like, much shorter to me, which is good. I don't want anything to drag on. But yeah, so we kind of like, once we kind of reached that point, we decided, okay, we're gonna do a full length, and just now focus on tightening up those songs, and even tightening up the two songs that are in that demo. I wanna like blow those songs, like blow away that demo. I want people to be like, okay, I heard the demo, but like it sounds better. Like the performance is better.
Yeah, we want to have like a full length, because originally EP last year, and now we have enough songs. Let's do a full length, and that's what we're going to record next month.
Probably by the time this podcast comes out, it can, you know, people will be able to find it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely like, I think in the past, I was kind of against all that. I don't actually have a Spotify account, to be honest, because...
You should get one, man. It's pretty good.
That's not really how I discovered music, though, personally. Like, I remember back in the day, like, pre-Spotify, there's Pandora, and then, which still exists, apparently, but, it just never, like, worked for me. Like, I feel like the music that I find, or like, the music that I love... And the way I find it, there's like basically two ways, either from my friends, or I kind of research the band that I already like and discover that the members have like other projects, and then I check out those other projects and find other bands. I feel like the like algorithm guessing, like
word of mouth is always like
that. Yeah.
I mean, I'll post things also on like, I get a lot of my music from like Facebook groups and stuff like that. So when we put something out, I'll generally put it on like the Facebook groups and stuff like that, like nice. Cave Dweller Music and stuff. Nice. So
endless lovely chat. I got one more question for all of you. Let's say we're not talking about superpowers, but let's think about if you had a chance to get like an animal special skill. For example, like if you had a chance, not a superpower, but if you had a chance to get an animal's special skill, what would it be? So for example, if you want to become if you want to have like an eagle, like long vision, so for example, for me, I would like to have the skill of a worm, because a worm can regrow their body parts, right? However, my weak point is people can throw salt at me and I'll just fucking die. You throw salt and
a also worm. That's no a dangerous place to be.
It's a pizza restaurant.
So I gotta stay hydrated. I gotta keep drinking water. Yeah,
and you're in a very steppable place.
So you don't have to become the animal, but
you take the skill and the weakness.
Take the skill and the weakness of any animal. Which animal would you choose?
I would just like to fly, but I don't know if there's any weak point of like a bird. Like, what's the weak? Like a
eagle. You live a short life. You don't have hands. You don't have opposable thumbs.
There you go.
Yeah, but like you have talons. You have like stuff that can grab stuff.
Okay, so you'll
but you're gonna use that to stand also. So you only have one hand at a time.
I think they do pretty well.
Fuck yeah.
Like they don't seem like they're complaining. And they're all like, they're near
skill?
The top of the food chain, you know.
Animal skill.
Yeah.
Animal skill.
Yeah. So like, Tom wants to be an eagle, so he can fly.
I want to fly, and I just think it would be cool to be able to like get up. Like, I think for me, I just like speed and efficiency, and like flying. That's the fastest way to get somewhere.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Jared.
Yeah, Well, no,
because now I have to go, and I don't know. I'm thinking like a bear.
A beer.
But I'm also thinking about my next rebuild.
Thinking about the fact
year.
That my beer is empty, I'll flag him down.
What are they gonna do? What animal skill do I want?
A worm's an interesting one.
I want to regenerate. I want to be like Wolverine.
I didn't know worms regenerate. I knew that.
Well, they when you cut the worm in half,
it still
grows. Yeah.
He was looking and then he looked down. Anyways, you there you go. I didn't know that. There's lizards. You know, they can break off their tail and regrow their tail. But I didn't know that about worms.
Can society reorganize itself around my animal power?
What is it? I don't know.
I just want to be able to hibernate for like a fucking 3 months. And then that's just hilarious. Come back and be Genki. Like after 3 months, just be like, all right, I'm out of my cave now. Also, I smell really good. Not that I smell good, I'll smell like a bear, I'll smell like shit, because I'll be sleeping in my PJs for 3 months. And I'll get up sometimes to do some stuff. I want my job to let me do that.
I think hibernation, that's a good skill to learn.
Yeah. And then I come back and I'm super Genki and super aggressive if you fuck with my cubs. I don't have any cubs, but if I were...
I don't know if there's a weak part of, like, hibernation.
Because
you're sleeping
for 3 months.
But I think they're definitely not, like, vulnerable. Nobody, like, goes and, like, kills somebody in their sleep. It's a pretty good one. Yeah, I mean, nobody's, like, killing hibernating animals that much, are they?
John. Kanako.
Animal skill.
No. They're not.
Smell.
As a dog. That is kind of like, that could be good, also could be very bad. You could be smelling things that you don't want to smell.
I want to find a bad drug.
Bad drugs?
In the airport.
I want to be a drug dog.
So you want to have like really sensitive nose.
Yes.
And be like, you suck.
I thought about that, but then because my nose is already kind of sensitive, especially since I quit smoking, I don't know, maybe like it's not so sensitive, but since I
recently... You just got a regular person's nose now.
Like now I have a regular person's nose, but I'm like, this place smells like shit. What is that smell? Like literally, like I'll find like certain places in my like apartment. I'm like, why does this smell exist?
No, well, Jared. When I quit smoking, congratulations by the way. When I quit smoking,
I mean, I still smoke IQOS, but okay. I quit smoking regular tobacco, like, and it's like all of a sudden I can smell stuff.
My palate was heightened, like when you taste the salt, you taste the spice, you taste the sweetness. So I remember like eating when I quit smoking and I ate like my first taco rice.
You're like, this is spicy.
And this is fucking spicy. Thanks, buddy.
Mine's been similar to that.
It's
like,
this is really intense.
And this is your sister. And good eating,
well, I just want to say, guys, thank you for having me talk to you.
Thank you for having us. I wish all the best for Swazon.
Yeah, maybe over in Europe, people are pronouncing it wrong.
Maybe the European listeners are going to be like, what are you guys saying?
We say what we want. Hey, language is just made up anyway. Like, it's literally just everybody agrees on this is what it means, and you know, we can just do what we want. It's just all a social construct.
But anyways, guys, thank you for having me on, and let's continue our beverages.
Well, I think we should thank you for having us on your show. So thank you for coming to our gig. Thank you for filming. You know, we watched the footage and it looks great, so thank you. And thank you for inviting us on your show. So we're happy to be here.
Like, hey. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Yes.
Cheers. Yeah.
All right.
So what did I give up? And what if I'm so fast asleep? I'm on a
to listen and purchase Swazan's new debut album, Cursed Inheritance. Go check them out at swazone.bandcamp.com. I'm sure you can download it and purchase it. And they also will have cassette tapes, which is rad. I haven't had or seen a new cassette tape in a while. CDs and I believe vinyl as well. Go check out swazone.bandcamp.com. And if you are living in Japan and you're listening to this episode before April 2nd, 2022, they are going to be performing their CD release show party at the Pit Bar in Nishi Ogikubo. That's April 2, Saturday, at the Pit Bar. And they're performing with other bands. Of course, they're going to be headlining their own album release party. And other metal bands are going to be there. I'm going to destroy the pronunciation of the names of these other bands, but sounds like great names. Napalm Motsu, Abiuro, To Distrib, and Dedra will help support Swazond in their album release party. So go check them out. And actually, I'll be there too. Stop by and try to hype up everybody if I can. Anyways, thank you for listening to the Made in Japan podcast. For more information of my show, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Made in Japan podcast, or you can send me an email at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. As well as you can listen to my podcast anywhere, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, if you like what you hear and you like the other episodes of my podcast, feel free to check out my Ko-fi page. That's ko-fi.com/madeinjapanpodcast. All the proceeds go help, you know, buy drinks for my guests and I, and helps support my show. Thank you for listening. I hope you are well. Stay true and rock on.